Okay, we'll start. Everyone else has to tiptoe. So please, Hella.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yes.
And one line about yourself.
Yes, I will. So my name is Hella Fabia Rasmussen, and I work for Microshape in Denmark. And I will just tell a little bit about the company so that you have an idea about why I'm here and what I'm going to talk about. Microshape is a spin-off from the Danish Technology Institute, and we've been a venture company for the past 10 years. We are working with the major glass manufacturers because our product is a product that is built into the glazing. And then we have more than 100 projects now, mainly in Europe, but we also have a few projects in Australia because we are open up in Australia. We've been that for a year now. So what is Microshape? Microshape is a high-end solar shading product. It consists of this thin steel membrane of microlamellas that are built into the glazing. And the steel membrane is positioned on side 2 of the glazing. And then we have low E glazing on side 3. And if you have a triple glazing, then you also have a low E coating on side 5. So because of this, we are what you would call a complex fenestration system. And this gives some complication as soon as the engineers want to do some calculations. So this is a challenge for us. It works the way that it's progressive. Depending on the height of the sun, we have different properties. So typical summer value for facade would be a G value of 0.1. In the winter, it would be 0.35 because the sun is lower in the sky. The product works, it's mainly, well, you use solar shading because you want to protect yourself from the heat, but you also want to have some daylight inside. So in this way, because we have these holes in the steel membrane, we get the daylight inside at all times. And you can actually also have a view out through the product. And it's a passive technology. There's no moving parts at all. Once it's there, it's there. So we have different types depending on what type of application you have. We have two different facade products and two roof products as our standard product range. So this is just to give you an idea what is this. And what I would like to talk about today is basically what is it that we experience out there in the market, because we are in touch with the customers every day. I'm technical support manager, which means that I have all the projects that are going on. I get all the inquiries from engineers, architects, of course also my colleagues. But I also have a one leg in development. So I sort of like, I speak the two languages, so I try to translate between the two. Just to say that I'm not a user of Radiance myself, but we need to come up with things, so sort of like they need to make a translation for everybody to be able to use it. So if I can use it, my customers can probably use it as well. So I want to take one step back because in Europe we have this building performance building directive that says something about that we need to lower the energy consumptions in our buildings. So if we look at the typical existing buildings in Europe today, they sort of have low level of insulation, we have single or two layer glazing, and there's a relative high air leakage. Then because we have this directive that for many, many years now have driven the new buildings into where we have a higher level of insulation, we have low energy glazings used in the building, and we have a very low air leakage. So it means that we tighten up the entire building, we give it on a big coat so it can sustain the winter. And if we only do that, then we will end up getting really hot in there because we cannot get rid of all the heat that gets inside. So therefore, in the buildings that we build today and have been building for the last 10, 15 years, we really need to minimize the solar radiation during the summer, but actually also during winter. And most people think during winter, oh, we would love to have all that sun inside. But all the evaluation of these buildings, they all show that they also get too hot during the winter. So if we are going to build buildings that will really work, we need to take into account that we need to have some more solar shading. There's simply an increased demand for progressive, movable, switchable, some kind of shadings where we can vary the effect of it. And we also need to optimize the designs and orientations and so on if we really want to have some buildings that's going to function, that people can be in. And this was maybe a long talk, but what it really leads to is if we look at how we have been calculating on buildings in this scheme, we can see that on the old days we just did stationary heat transfer calculations. We did maybe no daylight calculations or maybe very simple daylight calculations. If we look back at what we have done for the past 10, 15, 20 years, then we have done dynamic climate-based thermal simulations, but we have still used all the simple daylight calculations like daylight factor or even just the window to flow ratio. But if we really need these buildings to work, we need to move into climate-based daylight calculation as well, because we need to have the whole picture about how this building is working. And we need to couple the thermal calculations and the daylight calculations, because often, and this is how it's out there today in most companies, one people is doing the thermal calculation, another person is doing the daylight calculation, and they don't talk together because they're two separate departments. So all the assumptions they have made on solar shading, it's not transferred from one to another. And in many places they say, oh, thermal calculation, of course we need the solar shading because else we cannot have the indoor climate that we want to. But if we look at the daylight calculation, they don't take the solar shading into account because we're just looking at how much daylight can we possibly have. But this is not the reality because we saw that we are building so tight, the solar shading are actually in use for up to 80% of the time during the summer. So if you don't look at how the daylight is going to be inside the building with the shading in place, then you're really missing out a lot of information, and the users don't really feel comfortable sitting in dark environments where they can't view out. So so it's really important that we do this coupling. And what is really the driving factor in this? Consulting engineers, they build buildings, well, they design the buildings so that they can live up to the legislation. So this demand for climate-based daylight modeling is really driven by legislation standards. These building certification schemes, all the high-end buildings, they would like to have one of these. It could be LEED, it could be BREEAM or some of the other ones. And then time. Time is very, very important. They're all going to do this as fast as possible because they only get a certain amount no matter how much work they do. So they want to be able to do this fast. And what we can see is that these climate-based metrics, they are moving into the, especially the building certification schemes. We have seen LEED, BREEAM, but they also start to come into standard. There's a new European standard that was just voted through this summer. And if we just look at Denmark, where I come from, the Danish building regulation from 2018 has actually already adopted this standard because they think, okay, this is the way forward. So so right now we are in a situation, at least in Denmark, where we actually have a building regulation that says, okay, we need to do this, but we have no programs that really support the evaluation according to this standard at all because it has not been developed. So there's sort of like a hole. So what we really need, we need some software for advisors, for basic engineers that not necessarily require some expert skills, but people need to be able to use it easily. And all the radiance parameters, they're really difficult to choose if you're not an expert. What should they be? Like, you can search for literature and you can get 10 different advices of what you should put your settings to. And shading devices, they are really difficult to model unless you maybe have a BSF file. But overall, the shading devices, they're a really difficult to model because no one have information about these shading devices. And then there's a really long simulation time as soon as your building gets just a little bit complex. So we really need some software that is easy to use and fast to use because time matters. If you do a thermal indoor climate simulation for a building, it maybe takes you 1 minute, 2 minutes maybe. If you want to do a daylight calculation, including the solar shading on the same building, it might take you 5, 6, 7 hours to do it. So we need something that can be just as fast as the thermal indoor climate simulation if people are actually going to use it. We tried in Microshade to do example. We said, okay, we would like to compare some different facade systems where we look at different shading systems. So we have some static shading solutions and we have some dynamic shading solutions. And we wanted to simulate them where we compared both the thermal indoor climate but also the daylight. And we wanted to have the same assumption, based on the same assumptions for the solar shading, especially for the dynamic, used in both programs. And we searched for one and it was really difficult to find one program that could really do it. So we ended up choosing for the thermal calculations, we ended up using a program that's called EDICE. We chose that program especially because it could actually do spectral glazings, which is very seldom, but actually turns out if you do calculations on glazing that are not spectral and then do the spectral, you get quite different results. So this is maybe a place also where we need to look into. Then it has a really good shading database. So it had all kind of generic shadings and it also had different specific products in there. And then it was very flexible in the output. But on daylight simulations, it could only do the daylight factor or an illumination on one point in time. And we really wanted to do the climate-based daylight calculations. So therefore, we chose to use Diva for Rhino to do the daylight calculations. And our experience was that now we did a really simple office. But we tried actually to see if we could, from the build-up we had in EDICE, we tried to see if we could export it so that we could use the same model in Diva. We didn't succeed, and it took a really long time. We used so many hours trying to do this. Then we tried to do it the other way around, and we didn't succeed either. So it was much faster and simpler to build up two models. But imagine that you have a really complex building. This could be really, really time-consuming. It could maybe take a whole day or maybe more than one day, depending on how complex your building is. And then the window and shading descriptions, they were very different in the two softwares. As I said before, the EDICE, it had the spectral glazing data, and it had this generic shading library, so you could choose the different shading. So that was fairly simple. In Diva, we have the transmissivity of the glazing, and then we needed to model each of these shading physically for the line and for the lamellas. For the glazing, of course, it was just the transmissivity. And for the micro shade, we have actually, I think we are maybe the only solar shading producer that has this kind of stuff, but we actually have both BSDF files and we have a CAL file, which is a mathematical description of the structure. So for us, it was easy to model the micro shade. But imagine that we didn't have that, then it would have been an almost impossible task to do. And then there was a shading control for the dynamic shading. That was really difficult to make one shading strategy because in EDICE, you could use the watt per square meter radiation on the facade. That was a threshold you could set, and if it was more than 150 watt per square meter, the shading would go down and up again if it was less. But in Diva, it used the lux level on the inside of the room. So how does these two compare to each other? That is difficult to estimate. So that was a tough thing to do. So what we did was that we said, okay, the thermal indoor climate is always the one that people ask for first. So we simply took the control from EDICE and put it over the Diva raw data, because we have each of the different shading stages, and then we could just mix as the control. But that meant that we had to put everything in Excel, or we could use something else to process all the data in order to get the what the daylight would be like. And then another thing that we and then we put it up like this, because we said, okay, we want to be in compliance with some of the standards that we have. So we looked at the EN standard on thermal indoor climate, EN 15241, and on the daylight we used the new daylight standard, European daylight standard, and then we actually also looked on the view out. There is a standard on solar shadings and view up to a solar shading called EN14501. And in Denmark, we actually have a guidance saying that according to the standard, you classify your view out to your shading device. And then you can, with a factor, you can then weight how much view is accounted for. So if you have a shading that is very transparent and you can see through, then you have a high amount of time where you can have a view up. So it was interesting to see how the different shades performed, but mostly it was interesting that this control of the shadings, that was really difficult. If we said, okay, we are an engineering company, so one person is doing thermal calculation, one person is doing the daylight calculation, we could see that we would end up in the daylight calculations to have quite different results depending on what you would use as your threshold. Those two weren't the same, at least. So, and here I should also say that we tried to use the exact same weather data. So we transform it so that we modified the weather data file so that we could use the same weather data in both programs. But that was also quite a task. So I hope that now you're here today. Some of you are Radiance users. Some of you might be also practitioners. But I really hope that we would together try to see if we could develop some software that is very easy to use, so that we don't have these challenges with model export, imports, don't need to model everything twice. We can use some of the same window description, shading description, simply have something so that we have one place where we have the input, and then we can do thermal calculations or we can do daylight calculations, and we will use the same assumptions. Because else we don't have, it's very time consuming for the consultants out there, and they don't get to use it because it becomes too difficult. So another for the designers, I really want to make a statement that it's really important that we start to include these shading devices when we talk daylight as well. It's not enough only to use it in the thermal calculations, because it's simply not the reality of how we are using our buildings. And then we need to use the same control of the shading. And then we should also remember to evaluate the view out, because the people that are actually going to be in the building afterwards, the view out is a major concern for them. They really want to be able to have a view out. Yeah.
So, thank you for that industry perspective.
Awesome.
Also, I'm humbled to say that Isha said that why didn't we use Diva for energy modeling too? It has a connection to Energy Plus.
I was not skilled to do that.
Okay. I mean, you know Austin, right?
Huh?
Do you know Austin? Like, you guys met this guy?
It's true. You can have if you use the Grasshopper components especially, you have a lot more control over shading communication between Energy Plus, it's not you guys, but Energy Plus, and the Radiance annual simulations. But it is, I think, as you alluded to, it takes a lot more doing, but the workflows could be improved for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what underlying model behind the energy and data simulation is behind that. Is the BSDF format, or because another thing we also discovered was that sometimes there's different models behind it. I don't know if, can you guys touch on that?
Diva, I can't.
Okay.
No, I don't know about the deep also awesome computer, I don't know.
Sorry, I had checked
out. I was just curious because one big key from Hell is that we need the same assumptions behind it. So also yeah, this shading and window definition. So I was just curious, the window model behind the energy and the daylight simulation, is that similar or using the BSDF format, or what is going into that?
Okay, that's a good question. Right now we don't use the BSDF format. So Diva's still kind of stuck in the daysim world at the moment. We're currently working probably towards next year a release that might I think we'll use three phase. So
yeah.
It's coming, but not right now.
Yeah.
In Honeybee Plus, you can do that, but then you have to put it together.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
So that's really one of my points. If you're not a user, and most engineers they don't know how to use Grasshopper or Honeybee or something like that. They need an easy, very easy interface where they can do things easily. Yeah.
For early design, you can use Dalek. That's the tool that we developed that presented at a couple of years ago at the Radiance workshop. It's also not the solution for you now because we don't have a BSDF import function so far. It uses BSDF behind, but only for the built-in systems. If you want to use the microshade, this is something you will have the BSDF import end of that year or next week.
Hey, are we ready for our next speaker?
Thank you.